This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In 1935, Elspeth Munro and her sisters were active members of Vancouver's Young Pioneers. They spoke at rallies, participated in petition campaigns, and sang revolutionary songs. Songs such as Bankers and Boss, We're Marching All Comrades, Song of the Red Air Fleet, and March Song of the Workers. Saressa Gardner is Elspeth Munro Gardner's daughter. As Vancouver Co-op Radio's artist-in-residence in 2006, she created the 20-minute soundscape Soviet Canada 1935. And she joins me now in the studio to talk about her composition. Good morning, Saressa.
Good morning.
We'll hear some of the piece shortly, but before we do, can you talk a bit about some of the origins of the songs that are in it?
Mm-hmm. I actually did a little bit of research. I've been back at school, so I combined a couple of projects together, and I got out to UBC Library and found a book, the Rebel Songbook, published in 1935 in New York. And my mom didn't know of that book's existence. It had piano pieces, and it had 88, I think, songs in it. And among them were these five that are on the music piece that I put together. And for her, they came to her as a young child of 11, 12, and her sisters, who are close to her age. And they were young communist pioneers in Vancouver. And they learned these songs from the young communist, what would they be, league? I forget the right term, but the older kids that were active in politics as well would teach these songs. And I did a little more research and found that it seems there was people who were sent internationally to the Lenin School in Moscow. And they would learn songs there in Russian. And also, I don't know if they learned them in English or they translated them into English, but they did bring them back to their respective countries. So people went back to Canada, people went back to the United States. I imagine people went back to places in Europe and taught these kinds of songs. So it appears that a lot of the actual melodies are Russian. They tend to have a sort of a marching feel. And it's interesting because the ones that were published, the lyrics were already changing. So even though it was published in 35 and my mom was singing them in 1935, the songs that you'll hear or if you listen to the full thing, the songs she was singing, the lyrics were much more Soviet-focused and more radical, really, I would say, than the lyrics that got published in this book, which were more encompassing the worker in general, and less Soviet, like hammer and sickle kind of references, and comrades became workers, and there was references to many races, which was part of that multicultural aspect of the United States at that time.
In your soundscape, what sort of sounds did you use in putting it together?
Well, I used a lot of different things. I was using the studio that is here at Co-op, which is a very good one. It's got some great some great equipment and some great software. And mostly I was using Reactor and Kontakt. And Kontakt kind of is a sampling program, so you can load your own kind of sounds on. And with that, I guess the most, quote, interesting thing that I did was to take a little sample of my mom's voice and just a tiny, tiny snippet. It really could have been just about anything, I suppose. But it was her laughing, and I turned it into an organ sound. So one the times through when the organ is playing, it's actually made out of my mom's voice with a lot of effects on it. And Reactor has a lot of different instruments, and you can change the way the sounds are. So I use those programs quite a lot in putting the piece together.
And then you also have your mom singing on it.
Well, I think that's the highlight.
Yeah.
She did a great job. I had a couple of piano players, Sue Wood and Roya Ravenbach, play the pieces into a MIDI keyboard so that I could then change the key and find a key that worked for my mom. So I brought my little mini studio-ish thing over to her home and put the headphones on her and got her to listen and find where she was comfortable singing them. And then she sang to those recordings. Yeah.
Well, we'll hear a bit of it now before we talk any more about it. So this is Soviet Canada 1935 by Saressa Gardner.
Progressive movement. My sisters and I sang some of them probably at the time I was about 10. My sisters and I sang some of them when they used to have wrestling matches for the single unemployed on Saturday nights. They were songs of progress. They were songs of songs of the progressive movement. As a child, I belonged to the Young Pioneers, and these were songs that we learned, and my sisters and I sang some of them down at the 138 East Cordova, when they used to have wrestling matches for the single unemployed on Saturday nights. These are not songs that I've heard in any recent times, and this first one was the Comintern, which would have been the song of the Communist International. I see a reference in it to "No fascists can daunt us," and I'm wondering about that because the first references to fascism I didn't think came until into the 20s, and it would seem to me this song had come out earlier. Anyway, this is the way it went. Rise up, fields and workshops, come out, workers, farmers, to battle, march onward, march on, world stormers. Eyes sharp on your guns, red banners unfurled, advance, proletarians, to conquer the world, advance, proletarians, to conquer the world. Missing. Oh, comrades in dungeons, you're with us, you're with us, the day of our vengeance. No fascist can daunt us, no terror can halt, all lands will take flame with the fires of revolt, all lands will take flame with the fires of revolt. The Comintern calls us, raise high Soviet banner, in steeled ranks to battle, raise sickle and hammer. Our answer, red legions, we rise in our might. Our answer, red storm troops, we lunge to the fight. Our answer, red storm troops, we lunge to the fight. From Russia victorious, the workers' October comes storming reaction regime the world over. We're coming with Lenin for Bolshevik work, from London, Havana, Berlin, and New York, from London, Havana, Berlin, and New York.
So on the segment we just heard, your mom talks about singing at the wrestling matches for the unemployed on East Cordova. How were these evenings and their performances connected with the political struggles at that time?
Well, I think those wrestling matches were, I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure it was the Single Unemployed was the group of people that they called themselves that, at that time would gather there. So I think the wrestling matches were amongst people in that group. And I find it kind of hard to imagine little kids coming along and jumping into the ring and singing revolutionary songs, but they also did skits and things, so they were kind of like the halftime entertainment. And I guess because my grandfather was a Communist Party member and very active, he would have brought them along, and they were a little bit of a show group, those kids, yeah.
In 1934 and later on in your piece, your mom talks about speaking at a May Day rally that was covered by the Vancouver Sun, and then the following year she spoke at another, she recited a poem.
She wasn't scheduled to speak, but she got called up. The first one in 34, she said there was about 2,500 people there. That was the small one. And she gave quite a speech that got written up at length in the Vancouver Sun, which tells us a little bit about how the Sun has changed over the years. But she got a lot of coverage there, child star, you know, steals the May Day show. Then in 35, she wasn't scheduled to speak there. She was going to speak at some other little meeting, but she was there, and she got called up to the stage, and she recited this very radical poem that gets sort of chopped up and reworked later in my piece.
How did she talk about that experience of being at that age and having been the focus of such political attention?
She talks pretty positively about it, really. I think it was, she says that when she got a little bit older, like I guess into her early teens, she didn't want so much to do with being out in the limelight in that way, and she kind of backed off being the little, I don't know, little speech maker and being so active that way. She was active in other things, in debating clubs and things like that, but it seemed very natural to her. I think it has a little bit to do with the politics of the time, that people were, it was, I did a bit of reading that tended to support the idea that children were the ones to bring forward the action. So they were really encouraged to act independently in that sense of putting together their own plays, putting together their own skits, making speeches and things like that. So it served her well in her later life as a lawyer and a public speaker and representative of many left-wing movements over the years. And she speaks positively of it, so.
And there was also a bit of a shift after that as well in terms of the politics within Canada.
Yeah, as the fascists were taking over in Europe, a lot of different political groups started joining forces more together and putting less focus perhaps on their specific, these kind of songs that were so specifically communist. People started writing songs and gathering together and protesting in a more general sense to fight fascism. And so the Young Pioneers kind of disappeared in a little around, I guess, 36 or 7, I think.
And did your mom continue her political activities beyond
she
this
has,
time?
Yeah, she's always been very political. I wouldn't necessarily say always, just for left-wing things in general. She's worked for freedom and democracy in Chile when that was particularly a huge issue. A lot of people were coming to Canada. She was very active in that organization and continues to keep some ties with those people that she met through that. The Canada Keep a Friendship Society, she's still very active and is begging off being the speech giver at various times. Some of the clips on this piece were actually taken from her doing a talk in 2005, I think it was, at the Maritime Hall, I think I've got that right, talking about the Ottawa trek, and she was a little bit too young to really talk about a direct experience of that, but she was around in those times as a child, and so she talked about the atmosphere at that time. So she's been very active over the years in that way.
One of the things that I thought she said that was really interesting was in the, I think it was the 34 May Day speech, when she talked about the Young Pioneers being very different from Boy Scouts or Girl right. Guides, which are organizations teaching the art of war and pretending to teach the art of peace.
Yeah, I guess that was the message she was getting at that time, that they were little right-wing military-trained kids. I mean, I got a little bit of that as I joined the Brownie. I did my little tweenies and brownies. I wasn't stopped from doing it, but I had no interest in getting badges to set tables and things, so I dropped off really quickly, and I wasn't very sporty, so I couldn't do the outdoor part. I just didn't have anything I wanted to get a badge on, but they didn't stop me from doing anything like that. But I do remember talking about that, so that did come up as kind of a establishment kind of based organizations for young children. And they were in the anti-establishment-based organizations for young children.
You work as a sound artist now and a musician and a songwriter. Mm-hmm. Has your work been influenced by either these songs or by your family experience?
Yeah, I was thinking about that a little bit because I don't think there was like an obvious relationship right off the bat. But when I think in terms of my songwriting, I mean, these songs didn't come up at family gatherings and parties. We sang, there was Scottish folk tunes and there were the sort of Pete Seeger era songs and Where Have All the Flowers Gone and Little Boxes on the Hillside and all that kind of material. But I think in my own writing, the relationship with the underdog is probably what is the thing that was a driving force and a compassion for people. I didn't really take the political aspects so much into my, well, with this piece, but generally in my songwriting, I haven't really grasped onto the political aspect, but more the social aspect and the idea of the underdog.
And what does your mom think of this piece?
Well, she kind of doesn't comment too much, except that she's, I mean, she says she doesn't understand the electronic aspect, but actually she's been really happy with it, and she's been playing it for all her friends. She gets them to tune into co-op and have a listen when I've been on, and she's really, really happy, actually, and so is my dad, that there's been some way to sort of revive these songs and put them in a current context and share them with people.
I think we're going to listen to a bit more of it now. Before we do, we'll just let people know, if they want to listen to the whole piece, the whole 20 minutes, mm-hmm. they can go to your website.
Yeah, www, or you can leave that part out, .ceresa.com. And there's a link to the listening room, and that's where you'd click to hear this piece.
To click on Soviet Canada, 1935.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so I've been speaking with Ceresa Gardner, and here is more of her soundscape, Soviet Canada, 1935.
The Soviet Union was viewed by many people all over the world as a real guide to a better life for working people. And that's why people who come from that period look differently at the Second World War. When I think about that war, I think about the fact that the number of Russians, both military and civilian, who died in that war was over 30 million. Far greater numbers than all those of Britain and Canada and the United States and the other allies put together. They did the greatest suffering, and they did get some help after the war, but the fact of the war had set their economy so far back that when the struggle for nuclear power began, that actually began the breakdown of the Soviet Union. So people who've grown up since the Second World War really don't have a recollection of the relationships in the world prior to that war. And the McCarthy period really destroyed a great deal of the progressive thinking of the earlier times.
Off with the crown of the tyrants of favor, down in the dust with the prince and the peer. Strike off your chains, all ye brave sons of labor. Wake all humanity for victory.